We'll be talking about a number of things today, as you can see on the handout, and that will save you from taking notes or allow us to interact a bit more than frantically trying to write down everything I say, which I think it stressed me out watching you do that, because I would have to slow down. And I found these things allow me to cover twice as much material in class because folks aren't taking notes. So we'll be covering stress from a number of different perspectives. We'll be talking about some of the spiritual overtones of stress. We'll be looking at stress as far as how it impacts us. We'll be looking at clearly management techniques for that. And out of that, pick and choose what fits. I don't think I can offer anybody a blanket solution for how to manage stress. I don't know whether anything has ever been done on stress in your Myers-Briggs code. Because I would imagine that things that would stress me out, if you have a very different Myers-Briggs code than I am, if you're wired differently than I am, you will be stressed by other things. Things that work for me to help reduce my stress level may actually add to your stress level. So you need to hear me say you need to pick and choose and do that which is going to be fitting and suited for you. With that, let's just kind of plunge ahead. One of the things I want to start out with is a foundational concept that we're going to talk about as total being stewardship. We think a lot about stewardship in terms of money, time, effort, all those things to serve the kingdom. And actually what we end up doing is being very poor stewards of our body and our effort to be good stewards of the stuff around us. Stewardship is basically part of the manifold grace of God in our lives. If we talk about any Christian rightly using the gifts from God for the good of others as part of an attitude about stewardship. Now, what I want to suggest is that excess stress indicates that you need to evaluate the quality of your being stewardship. How well are you treating the gift of your being that God has given you? Whether you burn out for the kingdom or rust out for the kingdom, you're out. So what I want to promote is longevity of kingdom service. And actually, the Asbury Herald that came out recently will give you some good thoughts on it. Dr. Headley has an article on depression in John Wesley. And Dr. Van Tatenhove has an article about the wisdom of taking time apart to replenish yourself. There happens to be a Diddy article on anxiety that you can look at as well there. About areas of stewardship, we're going to be looking at four. Spiritual stewardship, your physical stewardship, mental stewardship, and relational stewardship. And you can have signs of stress show up in all of them. Let me sort of give you some thumbnail definitions of these. Spiritual stewardship, how well are you tending to your spiritual life? It also includes your use of the gifts that God has equipped you with, as well as your natural talents. One of my principles about living is that serving God ought to be joyful. There are those occasions when God will call you to a task that is entirely despicable, but you'll do it anyway. But I think most of the time, kingdom service is meant to be a joy-filled occupation. Drawing on those gifts and graces that make you who you are and therefore won't seem like work. I think that's part of spiritual stewardship. Physical stewardship involves how well you're taking care of this body that God has given you. Physical stewardship includes things like knowing your physical limits. It includes things like understanding your body rhythms. It includes things like taking good care of the body God has given you. Mental stewardship. What are you doing to tend to your mind? Now, I know that simply by being students, you are exercising your mental capacity more than you might have if you weren't taking classes here. And therefore, that leads to the other thought about how are you balancing that intense intellectual input with what other material? What do you do to let your brain rest? What sort of things do you use to give your gray matter a break from constant overworking? Or do you push yourself and organize yourself in such a way that you're really going to frustrate how your brain works? We're talking about relational stewardship. How well do you tend to the relationship in which you are? Because part of who we are is our people in relationship, and that is what you will carry with you. You'll get a new body. Your brain will be glorified. But what you will have in heaven are your relationships, because you're not going to take your stuff. So how well are you tending to the relationship? I think one of the saddest things that I see and hear about are people in ministry who sacrifice the health of their relationship, especially to wife and children, in some senses for the kingdom. I am not sure that that really is what the Lord intends for us to do, to so focus on our churches as if you become married to your ministry rather than married to your spouse, and that you parent your pastorate better than you parent your children. Something is wrong with that picture. So relational stewardship. And for those of us who happen to be single, how well are we tending to our relationships? We don't have the extra boundary or added dimension of a legal binding relationship or a birth relationship where we're obligated. Actually, we are in more danger of not tending to that than people who are married. Because, my goodness, as a single adult, if you're living away from your family where you don't have responsibilities for caring for aging parents or caring for younger siblings, you can isolate yourself to a fare thee well, and no one's really going to get on your back about it. So you truly can damage yourself in your relational stewardship, more by being single, I think. You'll just damage it in different ways than someone who's married with children. And on that cheerful note, let's talk about some signs of stress in each of these areas. Okay, how about some spiritual signs of stress? Now, why am I doing the signs thing? Because frequently stress will creep up on you. And it's only when it's in your face do you realize and say, oh my gosh, I'm stressed out. When there are probably a lot of signs of stress picking up along the way that you cheerfully ignored, either A, because you were ignorant about them, or B, because you have a death wish. So one of the two actually is poor stewardship. I know that I begin to get stressed out when, A, I have too many piles of things around my house and I don't take time to put things away. My philosophy is that it takes as little time to put the dish in the dishwasher as it does just to stick it in the sink and have to put it in later on and be appalled when I come home about the mound of dishes sitting in the sink because I didn't unload the dishwasher to begin with. Any of you? It's much more fun to load the dishwasher than to unload it. I don't know why that is, but it's true. I also know my sign of that I'm getting more stressed out the more lists I make of things. I tend to be a list person, and I think making lists is a good way to organize yourself. I would advocate it. But when I find myself spending 15, 20 minutes, half an hour making lists and trying to organize my time but not doing anything, I'm stressed. So, signs of stress. Spiritual. Loss of intimate relationship with God. Gee, you don't have time for a quiet time. You've got too much to do. Your quiet time dribbles down to waving the Bible in front of your face and going, osmosis, osmosis. Hopefully it'll, sort of just kind of sink in there. Shining the flashlight on the Lord's Prayer as you lay in bed at night.
Does that go along with not just lack of time, but lack of interest?
That lack of interest in spiritual things will also be a sign of being stressed out. Because it takes energy to have a relationship with God, and stress can zap you of that type of energy. And I'm afraid to say it, but for many of us, it is our spiritual disciplines that slide when the pressures of everything else begin to cry out. Now, I'm not going to go there to why that is, because I do it as well as anybody else does. And I can tell you the stressful times of my life by just kind of looking at my prayer journal and the gaps in the dates. And I can go back to my academic calendar and say, oh, yeah, midterms. Oh, yeah, grading for finals. Oh, yeah, I agreed to too many speaking engagements that month that needed a lot of preparation. And so when the things of this world cry for attention, unfortunately, we sort of unplug from our source of great strength, which is our spiritual life. How about spiritual deadness? Boy, I know I'm stressed out when I read scripture and it's like, oh yeah, been there, done that. What's new? Okay. How many times can you read the story of the prodigal son and get anything new out of it? Well, if you're plugged into the Holy Spirit every time you read the story of the prodigal son, if you ask for the grace to see something new, something will emerge. And part of it is that it takes an attitude of curiosity to come to the well-known scriptural passages to say, gee, this is really familiar to me, but Lord, what new things can you teach me from it today? That takes energy, and normally when we're stressed, we don't have the time to be that energetic. We lose excitement for the things of God when we get stressed out. Teaching Sunday school, that lesson preparation, what a pain. How many times do you want to cut out circles for kindergartners? Or the other thing that happens is you leave your Sunday school lesson preparation till midnight on Saturday. The other thing that happens, and there's no excitement about preparing yourself and getting organized to be presenters of the word to children, youth, or adults under your care. You just want to get it done. And you then take that attitude into the class with you. Let's just get this hour over with because I have to be done with church so that I can go back home and do whatever else I'm working on. Or it just becomes part of your S-min assignment. And you just want to get that checklist done so that when you go to class on Wednesday, you can say, yeah, I fulfilled all the S-min requirements, and thank God that's done. Without an excitement about being a minister of the gospel to the people, and you happen to be getting academic credit for it. How about lack of perseverance in spiritual disciplines? Frankly, I sometimes find my spiritual disciplines really take endurance to do. While I do believe that God provides the grace to make my quiet times in the morning a rich experience, I sometimes do things that will dull my receptivity to His grace, such as stay up too late the night before and expect to have a grace filled, energized, quiet time in the morning. It's hard to go to bed at 3 a.m. and then want to be excited about things of the Lord at 6 a.m. with 3 hours sleep. There may be some folks who find praying an easy thing to do. I frankly find it challenging. I prefer eyeball to eyeball, skin to skin contact when I'm chatting with folks. And what do we do when we pray a lot of times? It's sit still, close your eyes, and calm down. Well, sometimes when I'm stressed out, calming down is the last thing that's easy for me to do. Clearly, focusing is difficult because I'm running through my laundry list of all the tasks that need to get done. And so my quiet time and my prayer time sort of degenerate into, Lord, bless this laundry list of my activities, more than really being quiet and seeking His face during that time, because He has 5 minutes in which to appear. Now, don't you do that? Lord, I have 10 minutes for my quiet time. Be there. Well, of course, He's there, but I'm not. I mean, we've got this sync problem here. Or a carnaling out and literally moving away from godly behavior and godly choices. In the worst possible case scenarios, in extreme cases, we're talking about truly moving toward destructive behaviors, such as excessive alcohol use, driving too fast. I mean, driving dangerously. I drive faster than the speed limit, because sometimes the speed limit is set too low.
Because you're stressed out, because you're late for me.
No, because I like to drive fast. I'll just be real clear about that. But we can engage in behaviors that are clearly ungodly because we lack the energy to sort of fight those battles because we're too stressed. And all of us have besetting sins in our lives, those past areas from our pre-Christian behavior that sometimes will whisper to us, if not shout, when you're under stress. You need to realize that the when you're rested and when you tend to yourself well, though temptation will not appeal to you so strongly. But when you are stressed out, that is the opportunity that our enemy uses to present to you the options of things that you used to use to reduce stress in ungodly ways, because you're stressed. Okay? Does that make sense? Good. I'm glad you nod your head. It's very affirming. Let's talk about physical signs of stress. Okay? Some basic biological functions increase sweating. Skin problems. I have a particular area where I develop a small rash, and I can tell that even though I don't think I'm stressed, that's one of my early cues that my body is being pushed too much. Headaches. Okay. Plain old fatigue. You know, your get up and go, got up and went to Barbados and somehow left you in Wilmore. Sleep problems. That can come in a number of varieties. Sleeping too much or not being able to sleep well. Not being able to fall asleep, waking up intermittently, waking up early, or when you are asleep, it doesn't feel like you're in a restful deep sleep. Kind of waking up the next morning and wondered, you know, my gosh, should I sleep at all? Or know, you know, dreaming a lot or being aware of dreaming a lot, that sort of lack of deep, restful sleep.
Can all these compound each other?
Oh, sure. That's the beauty of it. It kind of gets on.
And you're not sleeping well. And
Yeah. It works real well. So you stay up late studying and you're worrying, so you don't sleep well, so you don't eat well, you know. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a lovely thing. Increased heart rate and blood pressure. That's one of the signs that you're sort of on, kind of hypervigilant. Cardiovascular problems. Some of you have biological histories that will predispose you to heart disease. Now, how many of you eat comfort food when you're stressed? Raise those hands proudly. Chocolate. Sugar. The major food group pizza, you know? Those add to plaque in your arteries. Somehow the diet of a low fat, you know, eating the... Do you ever notice how vegetables do nothing to make you feel good? It's not like a piece of chocolate cake. You know,
Not instantaneously.
That's what I'm looking for, though. Delayed reaction? No, I want the instantaneous. Some of you are adrenaline junkies. You like the rush. In fact, if you don't have it, you will find ways to create it. Now, and because you've got your adrenaline gauge set on high to begin with, you just max it out when you get stressed. Except it doesn't feel good then. It feels bad. Because you have the same biological reactions to good things that you do to bad things. If I describe to you seeing the person you love after you've been away from them for a while, you might have a racing heart and a dry mouth, especially if you're not sure whether he or she likes you, and your throat tightens up, and you get butterflies in your stomach, and you might be a little nervous, and we call that infatuation. We call it anxiety if you have those same biological things and you're going in to take a big test or have to talk to Dr. Mulholland about a problem. Okay, same biological thing, but the context makes a difference. Stomach problems. Many of you will start to get gastrointestinal dilemmas when you get under stress, and I'm not going to go into that in any great detail. You know, you spend a lot of time meditating on the porcelain throne. Okay, what are some psychological signs of stress? Loss of spontaneity. Boy, people better not ask you just to drop what you're doing and do something different. Don't have any change in your schedule emerge. I can tell that I'm stressed out when I've got my plan for the day set ahead, or I know what I need to do in this half hour in my office, and a student comes in and wants to ask a 2-minute question, and inside of me, I want to say, get out of my face. It doesn't come out of my mouth, but I know internally there's that knee-jerk reaction because it's a sudden change, and it throws off my plan. You need to know what those behavioral cues are, those psychological cues are for yourself. You may be with boredom. I mean, when you're under stress, everything else is boring. You can't have fun. Frankly, you can't have fun because you're too busy worrying about what you're not doing. And you're not fully aware you're at. Do you remember that scene from, A Star Wars was it, the second one where Luke Skywalker goes to meet Yoda. He goes to the planet and meets Yoda. And there's one, you know, he's talking about his friends and where he ought to be. And Yoda takes his little stick and says, you're never where you're at. And the point is, Skywalker was never fully concentrating on where he was and what he had to be about doing. Which frustrated Yoda to no end. And when you're stressed out, you cannot fully be any place. You can't fully be having fun because you're too worried about what you have to do. And in fact, you can't even fully concentrate on what you have to do because you're worried about the next thing that you have to do. In fact, loss of concentration. It takes you longer to get assignments done. You've got to read the same paragraph several times over. Heaven forbid if you're reading Thomas Oden, not even the dictionary helps. Okay. Poor self-concept. You begin to even wonder that God created you to be a human being. You begin to, you know, those nagging doubts that you have about who you are really begin to surface at that point in time. Mental fatigue. Your mental bounce-back ability has a flat. And so you're not going to roll with the punches very easily at all. In fact, your mental stamina goes down the tubes. You become easily frustrated and angered. Not only do you lose concentration, you become confused. Now, I really know where my stress level is up and maxing out when I can't keep straight where I need to be and when I need to be there.
Are you walking to a room and you forget what you're
in there? And you, are you walking to, well, I had, or what room I'm going to. And there's just a sense of, you know, a franticness about what do I need to be about and what do I need to take with me and bringing the wrong thing for the wrong activity, those types of things. And clearly feeling alone and isolated rather than connected. It's a psychological sign of stress. Behavioral signs of stress? Procrastination. For some of you, putting off till tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Yes, Julie.
Can that be kind of just a natural characteristic
syndrome? Yes, but for some people, it really gets magnified, though. And actually what happens with procrastination is you may tend to be a procrastinator to begin with, but when you're stressed out, you really don't have that luxury.
Well, I know for myself that I procrastinate, and that causes stress.
Absolutely.
But I don't think that the procrastination is because I'm stressed. Usually,
for you,
adrenaline kicks in when I'm stressed.
Yes, yes. For others of us who don't do it as a habit, we may put off doing some tasks because we have too many other tasks to do, and it's the tyranny of the urgent. I do what I have to do because it's in my face when I really should have taken time to attend to a longer project. That's because in my confusion I can't make good decisions about where I need to invest my time.
Putting out fires.
Thanks, Mary. That's a real good way to look at it. Poor performance. When you're stressed out, you really don't have the concentration or the energy to perform at your best. So you throw the EB paper together just to get it done and have something to turn in. And you know it's not your best effort or the effort you want to put out, and so you feel bad about yourself for doing it and assume that's really who you are then. And as Heather already pointed out, notice how these things just begin to tumble together. For some of us, it's increased risk-taking. Again, driving fast, those types of behaviors. Some of us will self-medicate. Now, worst-case scenario, we might actually drink and drug. But what are your drugs of choice? Mine tends to be caffeine. Some of you, your drug of choice is sugar. Chocolate is a favorite drug of choice. Things, we're looking at legal mood-altering substances. Okay. Poor eating and sleeping habits are another behavioral sign. You become argumentative. And name your favorite. Each one of us probably has some idiosyncratic behaviors that are pretty typical when we get under stress. So you need to be aware of what yours are. We have relational signs of stress. You become short-tempered, demanding. You begin making excuses for yourself. You withdraw from the special people in your life. You ignore family and friends. Okay? So, take a moment, look at that list. And I want you to think about what are your signs of stress and just put a check mark by them or a little notation by them. Yeah.
Correlation between that, a lot of these things, right?
Yes. They're kissing kin.
Is there any really way to? I mean, that's a big distinction. Am I stressed out or am I stressed?
Stress has to do with present tense activities, too many of them. Anxiety has to do with fear and concern about the future. Depression has to do with thoughts about the past. And so notice how they form a wonderful downward spiral. I'm stressed in my present. I worry about the future. The future eventually becomes the present, and I do poorly. And so when I think back to how I did, how do you think I feel? Depressed. And so it kind of goes hand in hand. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference because many times the symptoms do overlap. You need to... That's less important than doing what works best for both. At some points, it's irrelevant whether you call it depression or anxiety, because what you need to do is to take care of it tends to be pretty clear. And I'm actually dabbling into some broader areas that I'll be happy to talk with you about after the seminar, because they have less to do with stress management than other mental health issues. It's a good question, though. Do you all have your favorites identified? Now, let me tell you the clue. The sooner you realize you're stressed out, the sooner you can do something about it. You know, what are your early warning signals that you're stressed? Don't wait till you're maxed out before you start taking some action to do something different. Sometimes by the time many of us realize we're stressed out, it's too little, too late. And you just basically have to endure until the semester is over with. For many of us at Asbury, on a semester system, but what do you do when you're in the pastorate and things don't just nicely stop with when finals end? You do realize that for those of you who had been in the regular working world before coming to school, you know, there's a 12-month calendar that just keeps going and going and going, and there isn't such a thing as 3 months off for the summer, Christmas break, J-term, reading week. You may get 2 weeks of vacation if you remember to take it. Stress, frankly, comes from an imbalance between the demands made on us and the resources that we see we have to bring to meet those demands. The demands seem unlimited, where the resources appear finite. And whenever your resources exceed whenever your demands exceed your apparent resources, it's the make.
This is tape number 97, W10. It was recorded on Saturday, October 11th, 1997, and the message is by Dr. Toddy Holman. It's a stress management seminar. This recording was produced through the facilities of Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. Please do not transcribe into manuscript form or generate other copies without expressed written permission from Asbury Theological Seminary. This is tape 1 of 2.
We'll be talking about a number of things today, as you can see on the handout, and that will save you from taking notes or allow us to interact a bit more than frantically trying to write down everything I say, because I think it stressed me out watching you do that, because I would have to slow down. And I found these things allow me to cover twice as much material in class because most of us know. So we'll be covering stress from a number of different perspectives. We'll be talking about some of the spiritual overtones of stress. We'll be looking at stress as far as how it impacts us. We'll be looking at clearly management techniques for that. And out of that, pick and choose what fits. I don't think I can offer anybody a blanket solution for how to manage stress. I don't know whether anything has ever been done on stress in your Myers-Briggs code. Because I would imagine that things that would stress me out, if you have a very different Myers-Briggs code than I am, if you're wired differently than I am, you will be stressed by other things. Things that work for me to help reduce my stress level may actually add to your stress level. So you need to hear me say you need to pick and choose and do that which is going to be fitting and suited for you. With that, let's just kind of plunge ahead. One of the things I want to start out with is a foundational concept that we're going to talk about as total being stewardship. We think a lot about stewardship in terms of money, time, effort, all those things to serve the kingdom. And actually what we end up doing is being very poor stewards of our body and our effort to be good stewards of the stuff around us. stewardship is basically part of the manifold grace of God in our lives. If we talk about any Christian rightly using the gifts from God for the good of others as part of an attitude about stewardship. Now, what I want to suggest is that excess stress indicates that you need to evaluate the quality of your being stewardship. How well are you treating the gift of your being that God has given you? Whether you burn out for the kingdom or rust out for the kingdom, you're out. So what I want to promote is longevity of kingdom service. And actually, the Asbury Herald that came out recently will give you some good thoughts on it. Dr. Headley has an article on depression in John Wesley. And Dr. Van Tatenhove has an article about the wisdom of taking time apart to replenish yourself. There happens to be a Diddy article on anxiety that you can look at as well there. Talk about areas of stewardship. We're going to be looking at four. Spiritual stewardship, your physical stewardship, mental stewardship, and relational stewardship. And you can have signs of stress show up in all of them. Let me sort of give you some thumbnail definitions of these. Spiritual stewardship, how well are you tending to your spiritual life? It also includes your use of the gifts that God has equipped you with, as well as your natural talents. One of my principles about living is that serving God ought to be joyful. There are those occasions when God will call you to a task that is entirely despicable, but you'll do it anyway. But I think most of the time, kingdom service is meant to be a joy-filled occupation. Drawing on those gifts and graces that make you who you are and therefore won't seem like work. I think that's part of spiritual stewardship. Physical stewardship involves how well you're taking care of this body that God has given you. Physical stewardship includes things like knowing your physical limits. It includes things like understanding your body rhythms. It includes things like taking good care of the body God has given you. Mental stewardship. What are you doing to tend to your mind? Now, I know that simply by being students, you are exercising your mental capacity more than you might have if you weren't taking classes here. And therefore, that leads to the other thought about how are you balancing that intense intellectual input with what other material? What do you do to let your brain rest? What sort of things do you use to give your gray matter a break from constant overworking? Or do you push yourself and organize yourself in such a way that you're really going to frustrate how your brain works? We're talking about relational stewardship. How well do you tend to the relationship in which you are? Because part of who we are is our people in relationship, and that is what you will carry with you. You'll get a new body. Your brain will be glorified. But what you will have in heaven are your relationships, because you're not going to take your stuff. So how well are you tending to the relationship? I think one of the saddest things that I see and hear about are people in ministry who sacrifice the health of their relationship, especially to wife and children, in some senses for the kingdom. I am not sure that that really is what the Lord intends. for us to do, to so focus on our churches as if you become married to your ministry rather than married to your spouse, and that you parent your pastorate better than you parent your children. Something is wrong with that picture. So relational stewardship. And for those of us who happen to be single, how well are we tending to our relationships? We don't have the extra boundary or added dimension of a legal binding relationship or a birth relationship where we're obligated. Actually, we are in more danger of not tending to that than people who are married. Because, my goodness, as a single adult, if you're living away from your family where you're not, you don't have responsibilities for caring for aging parents or caring for younger siblings, you can isolate yourself to a fare thee well, and no one's really going to get on your back about it. So you truly can damage yourself in your relational stewardship more by being single, I think. You'll just damage it in different ways than someone who's married with children. And on that cheerful note, let's talk about some signs of stress in each of these areas. Okay, how about some spiritual signs of stress? Now, why am I doing the sign thing? Because frequently stress will creep up on you. And it's only when it's in your face do you realize and say, oh my gosh, I'm stressed out. When there are probably a lot of signs of stress picking up along the way that you cheerfully ignored, either A, because you were ignorant about them, or B, because you have a death wish. So one of the two actually is poor stewardship. I know that I begin to get stressed out when A, I have too many piles of things around my house and I don't take time to put things away. My philosophy is that it takes as little time to put the dish in the dishwasher as it does just to stick it in the sink and have to put it in later on and be appalled when I come home about the mound of dishes sitting in the sink because I didn't unload the dishwasher to begin with. Any of you? It's much more fun to load the dishwasher than to unload it. I don't know why that is, but it's true. I also know my sign of that I'm getting more stressed out the more lists I make of things. I tend to be a list person. And I think making lists is a good way to organize yourself. I would advocate it. But when I find myself spending 15, 20 minutes, half an hour making lists and trying to organize my time but not doing anything, I'm stressed. So, signs of stress. Spiritual. Loss of intimate relationship with God. Gee, you don't have time for a quiet time. You've got too much to do. Your quiet time dribbles down to waving the Bible in front of your face and going, osmosis, osmosis. Hopefully it'll, sort of just kind of sink in there. Shining the flashlight on the Lord's Prayer as you lay in bed at night. That lack of interest in spiritual things will also be a sign of being stressed out. Because it takes energy to have a relationship with God, and stress can zap you of that type of energy. And I'm afraid to say it, but for many of us, it is our spiritual disciplines that slide when the pressures of everything else begin to cry out. Now, I'm not going to go there to why that is, because I do it as well as anybody else does it. And I can tell you the stressful times of my life by just kind of looking at my prayer journal and the gaps in the dates. And I can go back to my academic calendar and say, oh, yeah, midterms. Oh, yeah, grading for finals. Oh, yeah, I agreed to too many speaking engagements that month that needed a lot of preparation. And so when the things of this world cry for attention, unfortunately, we sort of unplug from our source of great strength, which is our spiritual life. How about spiritual deadness? Boy, I know I'm stressed out when I read scripture and it's like, oh yeah, been there, done that, what's new? Okay. How many times can you read the story of the prodigal son and get anything new out of it? Well, if you're plugged into the Holy Spirit every time you read the story of the prodigal son, if you ask for the grace to see something new, something will emerge. And part of it is that it takes an attitude of curiosity to come to the well-known scriptural passages to say, gee, this is really familiar to me, but Lord, what new things can you teach me from it today? That takes energy, and normally when we're stressed, we don't have the time to be that energetic. We lose excitement for the things of God when we get stressed out. Teaching Sunday school, that lesson preparation, what a pain. How many times do you want to cut out circles for kindergartners? Or the other thing that happens is you leave your Sunday school lesson preparation till midnight on Saturday. The other thing that happens, and there's no excitement about preparing yourself and getting organized to be presenters of the word to children, youth, or adults under your care. You just want to get it done. And you then take that attitude into the class with you. Let's just get this hour over with because I have to be done with church so that I can go back home and do whatever else I'm working on. Or it just becomes part of your S-min assignment. And you just want to get that checklist done so that when you go to class on Wednesday, you can say, yeah, I fulfilled all the S-min requirements and thank God that's done. Without an excitement about being a minister of the gospel to the people, and you happen to be getting academic credit for it. How about lack of perseverance in spiritual disciplines? Frankly, I sometimes find my spiritual disciplines really take endurance to do. You know, while I do believe that God provides the grace to make my quiet times in the morning a rich experience, I sometimes do things that will dull my receptivity to His grace, such as stay up too late the night before and expect to have a grace-filled, energized, quiet time in the morning. It's hard to go to bed at 3 a.m. and then want to be excited about things of the Lord at 6 a.m. with 3 hours sleep. There may be some folks who find praying an easy thing to do, I frankly find it challenging. I prefer eyeball to eyeball, skin to skin contact when I'm chatting with folks. And what do we do when we pray a lot of times? It's sit still, close your eyes, and calm down. Well, sometimes when I'm stressed out, calming down is the last thing that's easy for me to do. Clearly, focusing is difficult because I'm running through my laundry list of all the tasks that need to get done. And so my quiet time and my prayer time sort of degenerate into, Lord, bless this laundry list of my activities, more than really being quiet and seeking His face during that time, because He has 5 minutes in which to appear. Now, don't you do that? Lord, I have 10 minutes for my quiet time. Be there. Well, of course, He's there, but I'm not. I mean, we've got this sink problem here. Or a carnaling out and literally moving away from godly behavior and godly choices. In the worst possible case scenarios, in extreme cases, we're talking about truly moving toward destructive behaviors, such as excessive alcohol use, driving too fast. I mean, driving dangerously. I drive faster than the speed limit because sometimes the speed limit is set too low.
Because you're stressed out because you're late.
No, because I like to drive fast. I ought to be real clear about that. But we can engage in behaviors that are clearly ungodly because we lack the energy to sort of fight those battles because we're too stressed. And all of us have besetting sins in our lives, those past areas from our pre-Christian behavior that sometimes will whisper to us, if not shout, when you're under stress. You need to realize that when you're rested and when you tend to yourself well, though temptation will not appeal to you so strongly. But when you are stressed out, that is the opportunity that our enemy uses to present to you the options of things that you used to use to reduce stress in ungodly ways because you're stressed. Okay? Does that make sense? Good. I'm glad you nod your head. It's very affirming. Talk about physical signs of stress. Okay? Some basic biological functions increase sweating. Skin problems. I have a particular area where I develop a small rash, and I can tell that even though I don't think I'm stressed, that's one of my early cues that my body is being pushed too much. Headaches. Okay. Plain old fatigue. You know, your get up and go, got up and went to Barbados and somehow left you in Wilmore. Sleep problems. That can come in a number of varieties. Sleeping too much or not being able to sleep well. Not being able to fall asleep, waking up intermittently, waking up early, or when you are asleep, it doesn't feel like you're in a restful, deep sleep. Kind of waking up the next morning and wondered, you know, my gosh, did I sleep at all? Or no, you know, dreaming a lot or being aware of dreaming a lot, that sort of lack of deep, restful sleep.
Can all these compound each other?
Oh, sure. That's the beauty of it. It kind of gets on.
And you're not sleeping well.
Yeah. It works real well. So you stay up late studying and you're worrying, so you don't sleep well, so you don't eat well, you know. Yeah. Yeah, it's just a lovely thing. Increased heart rate and blood pressure. That's one of the signs that you're sort of on, kind of hypervigilant. Cardiovascular problems. Some of you have biological histories that will predispose you to heart disease. Now, how many of you eat comfort food when you're stressed? Raise those hands proudly. Chocolate. Sugar. The major food group, pizza, you know? Those add to plaque in your arteries. Somehow the diet of a low fat, you know, eating. Do you ever notice how vegetables do nothing to make you feel good? It's not like a piece of chocolate cake. You know,
Not instantaneously.
That's what I'm looking for, though. Delayed reaction? No, I want the instantaneous. Some of you are adrenaline junkies. You like the rush. In fact, if you don't have it, you will find ways to create it. Now, and because you've got your adrenaline gauge set on high to begin with, you just max it out when you get stressed. Except it doesn't feel good then. It feels bad. Because you have the same biological reactions to good things that you do to bad things. If I describe to you seeing the person you love after you've been away from them for a while, you might have a racing heart and a dry mouth, especially if you're not sure whether he or she likes you, and your throat tightens up, and you get butterflies in your stomach, and you might be a little nervous, and we call that infatuation. We call it anxiety if you have those same biological things and you're going in to take a big test or have to talk to Dr. Mulholland about a problem. Okay, same biological thing, but the context makes a difference. Stomach problems. Many of you will start to get gastrointestinal dilemmas when you get under stress, and I'm not going to go into that in any great detail. You know, you spend a lot of time meditating on the porcelain throne. Okay, what are some psychological signs of stress? Loss of spontaneity. Boy, people better not ask you just to drop what you're doing and do something different. Don't have any change in your schedule emerge. I can tell that I'm stressed out when I've got my plan for the day set ahead, or I know what I need to do in this half hour in my office, and a student comes in and wants to ask a 2-minute question, and inside of me, I want to say, get out of my face. It doesn't come out of my mouth, but I know internally there's that knee-jerk reaction because it's a sudden change, and it throws off my plan. You need to know what those behavioral cues are, those psychological cues are for yourself. You may be with boredom. I mean, when you're under stress, everything else is boring. You can't have fun. Frankly, you can't have fun because you're too busy worrying about what you're not doing. And you're not fully aware you're at. Do you remember that scene from, which Star Wars was it? The second one where Luke Skywalker goes to meet Yoda. He goes to the planet and meets Yoda. And there's one, you know, he's talking about his friends and where he ought to be. And Yoda takes his little stick and says, "You're never where you're at." And the point is, Skywalker was never fully concentrating on where he was and what he had to be about doing, which frustrated Yoda to no end. And when you're stressed out, you cannot fully be any place. You can't fully be having fun because you're too worried about what you have to do. And in fact, you can't even fully concentrate on what you have to do because you're worried about the next thing that you have to do. In fact, loss of concentration. It takes you longer to get assignments done. You've got to read the same paragraph several times over. Heaven forbid if you're reading Thomas Oden, not even the dictionary helps. Okay. Poor self-concept. You begin to even wonder that God created you to be a human being. You begin to, you know, those nagging doubts that you have about who you are really begin to surface at that point in time. Mental fatigue. Your mental bounce back ability has a flat. And so you're not going to roll with the punches very easily at all. In fact, your mental stamina goes down the tubes. You become easily frustrated and angered. Not only do you lose concentration, you become confused. Now, I really know where my stress level is up and maxing out when I can't keep straight where I need to be and when I need to be there.
Are you walking to a room and you forget what you're
there? Or what room I'm going to. And there's just a sense of, you know, a franticness about what do I need to be about and what do I need to take with me, and bringing the wrong thing for the wrong activity, those types of things. And clearly feeling alone and isolated rather than connected. It's a psychological sign of stress. Behavioral signs of stress? Procrastination. For some of you, putting off till tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. Yes, Julie.
Can that be kind of just a natural characteristic trait syndrome?
Yes. But for some people, it really gets magnified, though. And actually what happens with procrastination is you may tend to be a procrastinator to begin with, but when you're stressed out, you really don't have that luxury.
Well, I know for myself that I procrastinate, and
mm-hmm.
that causes stress.
Absolutely.
But I don't think that the procrastination is because I'm stressed. Usually,
for you,
adrenaline kicks in when I'm stressed.
Yes. Yes. For others of us who don't do it as a habit, we may put off doing some tasks because we have too many other tasks to do. And it's the tyranny of the urgent. I do what I have to do because it's in my face when I really should have taken time to attend to a longer project. That's because in my confusion, I can't make good decisions about where I need to invest my time. Putting out fires. Thanks, Mary. That's a real good way to look at it. Poor performance. When you're stressed out, you really don't have the concentration or the energy to perform at your best. So you throw the EB paper together just to get it done and have something to turn in. And you know it's not your best effort or the effort you want to put out, and so you feel bad about yourself for doing it and assume that's really who you are then. And as Heather already pointed out, notice how these things just begin to tumble together. For some of us, is increased risk-taking. Again, driving fast, those types of behaviors. Some of us will self-medicate. Now, worst-case scenarios, we might actually drink and drug. But what are your drugs of choice? Mine tends to be caffeine. Some of you, your drug of choice is sugar. Chocolate is a favorite drug of choice. We're looking at legal mood-altering substances. Okay. Poor eating and sleeping habits are another behavioral sign. You become argumentative. And name your favorite. Each one of us probably has some idiosyncratic behaviors that are pretty typical when we get under stress. So you need to be aware of what yours are. We have relational signs of stress. You become short-tempered, demanding. You begin making excuses for yourself. You withdraw from the special people in your life. You ignore family and friends. Okay? So, take a moment, look at that list, and I want you to think about what are your signs of stress, and just put a check mark by them or a little notation by them. Yeah.
Correlation between that, a lot of these things, right?
Yes. They're kissing kin.
Is there any really way to, that's a big distinction. Am I stressed out or am I stressed?
Stress has to do with present tense activities, too many of them. Anxiety has to do with fear and concern about the future. Depression has to do with thoughts about the past. And so notice how they form a wonderful downward spiral. I'm stressed in my present. I worry about the future. The future eventually becomes the present, and I do poorly. And so when I think back to how I did, how do you think I feel? Depressed. And so it kind of goes hand in hand. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. Because many times the symptoms do overlap. You need to, that's less important than doing what works best for both. At some point, it's irrelevant whether you call it depression or anxiety, because what you need to do to take care of it tends to be pretty clear. And I'm actually dabbling into some broader areas that I'll be happy to talk with you about after the seminar, because they have less to do with stress management than other mental health issues. It's a good question, though. Do y'all have your favorites identified? Now, let me tell you the clue. The sooner you realize you're stressed out, the sooner you can do something about it. You know, what are your early warning signals that you're stressed? Don't wait till you're maxed out before you start taking some action to do something different. Sometimes by the time many of us realize we're stressed out, it's too little, too late. And you just basically have to endure until the semester is over with. For many of us at Asbury, on a semester system, but what do you do when you're in the pastorate and things don't just nicely stop when finals end? You do realize that for those of you who had been in the regular working world before coming to school, you know, there's a 12-month calendar that just keeps going and going and going, and there isn't such a thing as 3 months off for the summer, Christmas break, J-term, reading week. You may get 2 weeks of vacation if you remember to take it. Stress, frankly, comes from an imbalance between the demands made on us and the resources that we see we have to bring to meet those demands. The demands seem unlimited where the resources appear finite. And whenever your resources exceed, no, backwards, whenever your demands exceed your apparent resources, it's the make.